This year is followed by a rapid review. After the rapid review, there is the same daf from the previous cycle of Daf Yomi with a different ambience and different participants, which may interest you as a chazara or maybe actually the one you prefer hearing. Today's daf is Mesechet Avodah Zarah. We're holding on Daf Chof Hei, and we discussed the number of hours that the day of Yehoshua was lengthened, various machlokas and three different shitot, which actually ended up being six different shitot because of the Yikidei Amrei, whether we were talking about the additional time or the total time. And today we will continue in a sugya that is related. And that is, we're going to start from one third of the way down of the large lines. Ignore the smaller lines on top. The last word on the line, Tana. Tana, Kishem Shamdalo Chamala Yehoshua, in the same way that the sun stood still for Yehoshua, which interestingly enough, there are myths across the globe of the day the sun stood still. Of course, every culture has got a story of how it stood still for such and such an emperor, for such and such a war, for such and such. But anyway, it's a rather pan-human myth. So on that day, there were also times that the sun stood still, one before Yehoshua and one in our own recent times. So one time was for Moshe Rabbeinu. One was the famous story of Nakdimon Ben Gurion. Yehoshua, we know from Kroy, that's Beferish in the Nach. Nakdimon Ben Gurion, we know from the story in the Gemara, where Nakdimon Ben Gurion offered an absolutely fabulous sum for 12 mayanot of water that should be available for the other regalim, and gave a time in which he's going to give it back, and there was a miracle, the day was lengthened, the rain came at the last possible moment, and because of that, they called him Nakdimon Shenagadalo Chama, and that was a recent story, so that we know from the Gemara. But how do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu had such a ma'aseh, Moshe Minoah? So the Tanakama suggests that we learn it out from Gzera Shava of the word achel, hat yachel achel. It says here, when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to start the war with Sichon, Hayom hazeh achel tet pachtecha v'yiratecha al pnei ha'amim tachat kol ha'shamayim. So if we learn out that word achel, compare it to Yehoshua, where it says, Vayomer Hashem al Yehoshua, Hayom hazeh achel gadelcha. So it must mean, and he says, Beferish in that pasuk, Ki kasher hayiti im Moshe ehye imach. That's the end of the pasuk. So apparently that is a reference to the events that follow, which is the Hamadat HaShemesh. And therefore we understand that it must have happened before for Moshe. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, it's actually the word tate, which I was makabel as the Gzera Shava. Tate. It says, Achel tate pachtecha, and by that it's said by Moshe and Sichon. And by Yehoshua, it says, Biyom tate Hashem et Hamori. That's when Shemesh begivan dom v'yarech be'emek ayalon. That's when those words were. Same pasuk. So that means that it must be that that event also was a tate at the time of Moshe. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, what do you need a Gzera Shava for? Isn't it obvious from the actual construction of the verse? Migufe dekra shamatla, you could see it in the pasuk itself. It says, Asher yishmuun shima'acha. What was the lashon? Achel tet pachtecha asher yishmuun shima'acha v'ragzu v'cholum panecha. What is the pachtecha? Pnei'a mim tachat kol ha'shamayim. Can you tell me where you would have Kol Hashamayim, Tachat Kol Hashamayim. Where would the entire world, beneath the entire sky, which is of course a reference exactly to this type of event. So when would that be? Ematai v'ragzu v'cholu miponecha, b'sha'ash amdolo chabala Moshe. So clearly, it must have been an event like that. The Marsha points out that the Gemara is probably basing this more than just on the simple mashmaut, basing it on what appears to be a contradiction. That the first part of Pasuk says that it's in terms of Shim'acha, They're going to hear about you. Sheyishmu'un shimacha. But on the other hand, it says that it's mipanecha, v'chala mipanecha, which is not, so how could it be shimacha mipanecha? Must be that there was an event which shocked everybody. Then when they heard that that event occurred through Moshe, then it became that it was actually mipanecha. But that it required a shmu'ah to define for them what it is that they had observed. Meitfeh. Ask the Gemara from the Pasuk itself by Yehoshua. If you're claiming that these events occurred with Moshe, with Nakdimon, why does it say, V'lo haya kayom hazeh lefanav v'acharav lishmoa Hashem b'kol ish, to be mamid the Shemesh, if you're saying that this is a more or less common occurrence? Well, ibaitema sha'otu delavin fishekulei, I mean, maybe there were a few minutes. You know, Nakdimon ben Gurion was b'sach hakol a few minutes where they had thought it was already after the Shkia, it was before the Shkia, but and the mice with Moshe may also have been just an hour or whatever. Or it could be that it's in reference to the combination of events. Iboitema avnei barad lohavi. That by Yehoshua it says, Vayibeno sami b'nei Yisrael heim b'morad beit choron. V'Hashem ishlich aleihem avanim gedolot min hashamayim ad hazeka v'yamutu. That combination of events that had never been before or after. Daniel, could you pour this out, please? Thanks. Now, once already we're talking about this sugya, the Lushan that we found by, we had earlier discussion, what is Sefer HaYashar, what's the remez to call it Sefer HaYashar, and where did we find that there was an event that was predicted in the Sefer HaYashar for Yehoshua. So we said that the Sefer HaYashar was Bereshit, and the way that we know from Sefer HaYashar was the Brocha of Yaakov Avinu, Melo HaGoyim. Melo HaGoyim must be something similar to what we just read, Tachat Kol Hashamayim. So therefore, we now move on to another place where the Torah also mentions Haloi Ktuva B'Sefer HaYashar, and see exactly what it's referring to there. Now this is what David HaMelech said after the death of Shaul and Yonatan. So in the Kina, it says, Vayomel Elamed B'nei Yehuda Keshet, where does it say in the Sefer HaYashar, assuming the Sefer HaYashar we're going to see is Bereshit, there may be other possibilities, where does it say that Bnei Yehuda would have to learn archery? My Sefer HaYashar, Omer Pchia Baravam Rabbi Yochanan, Ze Sefer Avram Yitzhak V'Yakov, Shinikru Yisharim, Dichtiv Bu Tamot Nafshi Mot Yisharim, Uti achriti kamo. So therefore, we call it Sefer HaYashar. Where does it say in the Sefer HaYashar that Yehuda will learn archery? It says, Yehuda, ata yoducha achecha, yadecha bo'oref oyvecha. Your hands will be on the neck of your enemies. Ezoi milchama shetzricha yad keneged oref. Where do we need a hand facing a neck? That's got to be referring to archery. Now, Rashi's pshat always is that this means that when you pull back on the arrow, your hand reaches behind your neck. That is a little bit strange because the simple mashma'ut of oref is that it's the oref of the oyev, not your own oref. So it would mean, and that may be because when you're aiming by the Oref, you're aiming towards a very, very strange kind of way of learning. The Marsha is a beautiful job. And what she says, the Yad Keneged Oref means that if your enemy is running away, the only way you could shoot him in the back is by shooting him. In other words, you're not going to be able to attack him with a sword if he's running away from you. So then we're talking about Ba'oref, that means they've already turned tail. So if they've turned tail, if it's Ba'orif Ayvecha, it must be that you're shooting him. So how would you shoot him? You'd shoot him with an arrow. That would be the Orif. The other possibility is, I mean, when you pull back, Keneged Orif, so you're aiming, basically, Kenegdecha, which would be already against the Orif of the Oyev, if you want to keep to the simple meaning of the Pshat. So, therefore, David is referring back to that that Broch of Yaakov. Where are we, sorry? Oops. Yeah. So Yehuda, Ata Yoducha Achecha, Yadcha Be'oref Oyvecha is a reference, therefore, to the Brocha, which is a remez to the Milchama Bekeshet. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, no. Sefer Yashar, in this case, is a reference to Dvorim, Sefer Mishneh Torah. Why would we call that the Sefer Yashar? Tichtiv Yasita Hayashar V'atov B'nei Hashem Elokecha. V'hekor Amiza, where in Sefer Dvorim does it talk about this? Yadav Rav Lo. What is Yadav Rav Lo? Two hands. They're referring now to the Brocha of Moshe. And now it's talking about war. Ezer Mitzaraf Tiyeh. So Yadav Rav Lo has got to be a type of war that requires two hands. If you're dealing with a sword, you don't use two hands. Therefore, it must be a reference to a keshet, which requires both hands. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says the Sefer HaYashar is a reference to Sefer Shoftim. V'amai korelei Sefer HaYashar, dechti b'yamim ha'im ein melech b'Yisrael, ish ha'yashar be'nav yaseh. And where does it say in Sefer Shoftim that there is a need for Yehuda to learn archery? Echor Amiza. Because the Sefer actually begins with a discussion of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu left the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael. So it says there, Rak lema'an dat dorot b'nei Yisrael lelamdam milchama, that they shouldn't take for granted their being in Eretz Yisrael. They should continuously need to fight because of the fact that they went in this often of not completely keeping the Brit. And how do we know that that has to do with Yehuda? Because first of all, how do we know it's archery? Ezo milchama shetzricha limud, avon mizu keshet. You can't go and fight with a keshet without extensive training. You could go and fight with brute force with a sword, but, I mean, don't try telling this to a samurai, but you certainly need an awful lot of training to even begin when you're going to shoot a keshet. So this is a reference to war, obviously, with shooting. And how do we know that it's related to Yehuda? Because again, at the beginning, the first time that we need to determine who is going to be the leaders, the Marines in the war, because it says beferish over there, who is the one batchila mi'alelon alaknani batchila li'lachembo, and right off the bat, Hashem says Yehuda yale. So that means that all of these wars are shoftim, the opening to shoftim. It's all of these wars are going to be led by the Marines who are Yehuda. Therefore, must be Lalami B'nei Yisrael Yehuda Keshet is a reference to this part of the Sefer HaYashar. And so, if we take a look now at the, since it's the same, the only reason we're bringing this here is because we have the same exact machlokas in the different shitot before as we have here. It says that Shaul, when he was invited to Shmuel, so Shmuel made this seudah beforehand. He was coming in not knowing anything was going around. And it says, Vayorem atabach atashok v'ha'aleha. Vayasem lifnei Shaul. So v'ha'aleha is very strange language. The shok and that which was on it. I mean, what is that? So Rabbi Yochanan says it was the shok and it was the alya. The alya is the fat tail. So the reason it's called Ha'aleha is because it's mismechashok la'alya. The shok is that which supports the rear of the animal. So it's the aleha of the shok. Rabbi Elazar Omer, no, it means the chazev shok. Even though chazev shok is general, this was a shlomim, remember. It says the zevach, who yivarech, Shmu was making broch on the zevach, this was called but shlomim. But since, as Rashi points out, we're bringing it over here on a Bamat Yachid, there's no din of giving the Chazav HaShok to a Kohen. Nonetheless, that's the Chashivut of the Chazav HaShok, so that was put in front of Shaul as a sign from Shmuel for his chashivut and that he was going to be the melech. That was his first remez. He was a bit confused as to what was going on, coming in as the little boy who was asking for his lost things and all of a sudden finding himself expected and in the middle of the head table for the Suda. So he gave him a chazeh v'shok. And why would we call the chazeh aleha? I mean, the chazeh is nowhere near the shok. Because, you see, the machit le chazeh lo yedashok. Because before you do the tnuf of the chazeh v'shok, the chazeh is put over the open portion, the cut portion of the shok, as a kavod. So since that is generally for tenufa above the shok, so we call it that which is left aleha. Because the machit lechaza aluya de shok kiboy anufe, when you need to do tenufa there where it's where you put it, and only then menafile. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Omer, it refers to the shok, which is the lower leg, and the shofi. The shofi is the upper part of the thigh where the thick meat is. And why call it aleha? Because the shofi is the uppermost part of the whole leg. So it's iluya de shokavi. Koi. The next piece that we added the Mishnah is that a woman should not be alone with an akum. Lotit yached isha imahem. Now, what do we mean imahem? I mean, that makes it sound like it would be okay to have yichud with a Jew, just not with a goy. I mean, I thought yichud was like a whole issue, no? So, b'maya skinan, what are we referring to? I mean, if you're talking about one akum, so then what are you saying? You can't be alone with one akum, and if, with one Jew, you could be alone. Dikavataga b'Yisrael, mishori? Doesn't it say, v'atadan lo yityached ish echad, even with two women? Im shtei nashim. So, maybe it's referring to bedavka with three. So, ela bitlata. So, why do we say three? It's really mutter with two. Because if you're on the road, you need three. Because one of them is going to have to go to the bathroom. They're going to be left alone. So, ever you're starting on a journey, in order to avoid yichud issues, it's a woman with three men. Because otherwise she'll be left with one man. Like this, she'll always be left with two men. So, the real shear is two. So that would mean that what? That by a Yisrael it would be mutter, but it isn't mutter with the Yisrael, at least not with the Yisrael who's similar to a goy, because that would be by definition prutzim. I mean, so then it has nothing to do with your religion. I mean, if you're a parutz, then even if you're not an akum, you're osir, even with three. The kavataga b'Yisrael b'prutzim mishari? Would a Yisrael who is parutz barayot be allowed to be alone with a woman, even with three? Vatnan, aval isha mityach achat, a single woman can be mityachedet im shnei anashim, can be alone with two men. But as Rabbi Yehuda explains in the name of Shmuel, that's only lo shanor ala bekisherim, aval beprutzim afilo asara namin. It's no matter how many men are there. It's always going to be asur because everybody could party together. And actually, maaseh haya, Bamita, 10 men pretended to be bringing out a woman to bury her, and she was perfectly alive. They took her out to the Beit HaKvarot, and they had partied there. So, I mean, whatever the numbers are irrelevant. So what are you telling me it has to do with Goyim? It has nothing to do with Goyim. It has to do with Pritzut. So what are you saying? Ima Akum. There's got to be a case where it's uniquely with an Akum that she wouldn't be allowed to be alone. Where would that be? Answers the Gemara, the only case would be lo tzricha biishto imo. There, if the man's wife is with him, so she, the stranger, is allowed to be alone with this man because his wife isn't going to let him do any hanky-panky. But that's only if it's a Yisrael. If it's an Akum, she doesn't care about the hanky-panky because she'd rather get an opportunity for herself too. So if she's going to start being machped on her husband, not to fool around, so what's it? I mean, she's going to be a hypocrite. You know, I mean, it's an open marriage, you know. So therefore, an akum, the woman is not so machped. So b'yishto imo, oviko chavim, enishto mishamarato. So his wife is not going to be that much of a hindrance for him. But by Yisrael, if ishto imo, then ishto mishamarato, and he won't now cause any trouble for this woman who is being mityached. That would be the case that the Mishnah is referring to, where bedafka, uniquely the akum, is the makom of the iser. Ask the Gemara, this doesn't really make any sense, because the end of the Mishnah says that no one is allowed to be alone with an akum because of the fear that you'll be murdered. So why discuss now the sexual implications if it's going to be exactly the same, whatever your sex is? Anyway, you're not allowed to be alone. So what's the nafkamina? Ask the Gemara, tepik l'mishum shvichud dami. Why don't we have this issue without bringing up the question of yichud? Omer Reb Yirmiya, because we're talking over here in a case where there's no chashad of shvichud dami. So we're talking about an isha chashuva. So we've got this very chashuva woman, and she's this beautiful society lady who's got connections to the newspapers. Once upon a time, it used to be connections to the government, but now the government is only the government because of connections to the newspapers. So it goes all the way back, might as well go to the source. So she's got connections now. If anybody tries to kill her, it'll be in all the papers, they'll get into trouble. So therefore, we're not worried about this woman, you see. And there, the only chashad is arayot. So it's telling me that this isha chashuva, assuming that she's beautiful, so she's chashuva in terms of her femininity, and she's also chashuva in the sense of being politically important, there we've got a problem, not because of shvichut damim, but only because of the problem of being alone for sexual issues. Rav Idi Amar, there's never a problem with a woman of somebody murdering her. Nobody murders women because they're sexual objects. And therefore, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, every day. Every day somebody backs up, runs over a kid. Every day. I mean, it's just beyond belief. Yeah, so there, in those days anyway, if a woman is a fine, feminine sexual object, doesn't matter her age, doesn't matter her beauty. The fact is that she's treated as different because she's female. And she's treated sexually, she's female, according to Ravidi, no matter. So, kli zayna aleha, she's always armed. She's armed with her own sex. And that's enough. So she doesn't have to worry about murder. The only thing she has to worry about is people taking advantage of that. So it's the very fact that she protects herself with her femininity that indeed makes her vulnerable. Now, there's a big difference between these two, because my benayu, the difference between the two approaches would be an isha who is chashuva bein ha'anashim. Let's say you have a woman who has political connections, which according to Rabbi Yirmiya, has no fear of murder. But she's also ugly. So she's eina chashuva bein ha'anashim. She's not considered to be an important feminine woman. She's just an important figure. Happens to be that she's feminine, female. So there you have a big nafkamina, because if the issue is that she needs to be an isha chashuva, so she's attractive and therefore vulnerable, according to him, and she's not vulnerable politically, so you can't kill her, there you've got a dangerous combination. So she has to keep away from that because she may end up being mitpatet with the akum. But if you hold, according to Rabidi Baravid, even if she's ugly, she's always going to be vulnerable. So according to him, the case where she's not chashuva bein anashim, so she's not attractive, she's not considered to be a particularly beautiful woman. So over there, even though there may be no chashad of the shvichut amim, but there is still going to be a chashad of yichud. That's the point. The reason is because shechashudim al ha'arayot, even though, and indeed this is the way with Tanya Kavati to Ravidi, we see a brayta says the same thing. Isha afa pisha shalom ima. Now what does that mean? It means that even though by definition a woman doesn't have to worry about being attacked, but she still would have to not be mityachelet. Lo tityachelim ha'bipnei shechashudim al ha'arayot. And that is going, I'll leave the reader bar of him. In other words, klei zayna aleha, She's always protected. Doesn't matter now whether she's attractive or not. The next thing that we had in the Mishnah was the closing part of the Mishnah is that no one should be alone with an Akum. Lo yit yachid imahim. Tan Rabbanan, how about if you're on the road and you meet up with an Akum? Yisrosh is damino avit kochavim baderech toflo liyimino. Make sure that you're on the left and he's on the right. That way, if he tries to shoot you, you'll be able to get your right hand to deflect his sword. That's better. Rabbi Shmuel, Benosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer. Now, wait a minute here. Let me give you a little bit of self-defense here. If the guy is armed with a sword, now his sword he keeps on his left thigh, he'll move his right hand to get the sword. When you see his right hand moving, you can block his sword with your right hand, so therefore make sure he is on your right. But if he's armed with a club, then what you want to do, he's going to use the club in his hand. It's lovely in those days. Not much better today, but he's going to use the club in his hands to get you. You're not going to have time to block him with your right. You're going to need to block with your left. So if he's armed with a club, get him on your left. And make sure he stays on your left. Of course, meanwhile, the conversation is all about happy things and politics and how's your wife and so on. But make sure that he's on the right side, you know? Now, if you're in a thin, you're on a staircase or you're on a trail, if you're going up or down, make sure you're never in a lower position. Always see to it the Yisrael Lamala Vodkochav Lamata, because otherwise he'll take advantage of your vulnerability beneath him. Don't bend down to pick up your wallet. Because as you bend down, I'll smash your skull. If he asks you where you're going to, Shalom, Leichan Olech, always claim that you're going further than you are. So I'm getting off at the last stop. Where's the tube? What's the name of that crazy station all the way at the end? I forgot. Nobody goes to. I'm going all the way to the end. Exactly as Yaakov Avinu told Esav HaRasha over there. He tells him, Ad asher avo al Adoni Seira. He never got to Seir. He stopped already in Sukkot. Boy, oh boy. So because he wanted Esav to figure, well, you know, I'll kill him before we get to Seir. But by the time he gets to Sukkot, he's off the road. Uchtiv Yaakov Nasa Sukkota. Indeed, there was a Maaseh with Talmidim and Rabbi Akiva that they were on their way to Chziv. And they were met by Listim on their way.
They were traveling south
from Bavel. And the Listim asked them, how far are you going? They said, we're heading to Akko. When they got to Chziv, they already got off the road. They took the Chziv exit. Amrulahem, so the Listim said to them, very smart, tell me, they miatem, who's your Rebbe? Amrulahem, tell me, they Rebbe Akiva. Amrulahem, so the Listim said, you got a very good Rebbe there. He teaches you how to apply your learning. Ashrei Rebbe Akiva, betalmidav. Shelo pagabev adam rami olam. You know, the dark side never gets them. Very good, very good. Now once Rabbi Menashe was going lebeit Torata, and Ganovim are not as bad as Gazlonim in the sense of their open viciousness, you know. So these burglars, but if it's on the Gazal, to where you're headed, they told them that we're going to Pumpadita. They got off on the Beit Torata exit well before Pumpadita. Amrule, so the Ganovim said, you rotten no goodniks, you must be the Talmidim of that famous Ramai, Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Ramat. He taught you how to be Ramoim, just like Yaakov Avinu was a Ramai, and he fooled Esav. Amar Lavu, so Rabbi Menashe said to him, you know Rabbi Yehuda, you call him a Ramai. You should be benidui for speaking this way about Rabbi Yehuda. And so, for the next 22 years, they never had a successful kill. Terrible. They continued to burglarize homes for the next 22 years and never made a dime. So they saw, finally it registered, you know what? Must be that nidui was pretty bad. We better go and ask Mechila. So when given the chazu that they weren't making any money, so all of them came and tavu delishur shamtayu. They asked Rabbi Yehuda to be matir, the nidui. Now there was one guy who was a girdana. Girdanas are the weavers. They're known to be very solitary and arrogant figures. They're not going to bend easily. And he refused to come. He didn't come to be matir the nidui. And so we got rid of him very quickly. Achle Arya Lion finished him up. And that's where the famous saying comes from. Girdana dalo taizan, where a girdoi, a weaver, doesn't learn to become a little bit of, to have a little bit of humility. Shata butzer bishani. We cut a couple of years off his life here and there.
Why is it that some ori ain't of course?
Why would that be? I don't know. I mean, it's not a.
It's.
But one, I have no idea why it would be. But I was trying to figure out what's the psychology of a weaver. But it was enough to be a famous thing. Anybody have any ideas?
So it's, I was saying,
I'm not a nerd.
Nerd? No,
nerds don't have humility. You say?
There's also masach that loom at the end.
Yeah,
right.
The same. Yeah, okay. So, but why would that? Why would that make him
so
not?
His face is covered, so he has no. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it is like Banaya saying. You become wrapped up in what you're doing. You don't care. But I don't know. My mom is doing that now. But anyway, look at the difference between the way the Ganovim, who were in Bavel, spoke about Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Ramoy, and the way the least him in Eretz Yisrael complimented Rabbi Akiva. And you see the difference. Tachazi, look at the difference between the Ganovim of Bavel and the list of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook would have loved this one. Okay, let us. Tana, kishem sham dalo kamal Yoshua kacham dalo kamal Moshe ulanaktimon ben Gurion. Yoshua kroi naktimon ben Gurion gimora. L'Moshe minola at yachel achel k'tiva achel teitach techa uktiva tam b'Yoshua achel gad lecha. Rabbi Yochanan atya tet tet k'tivach achel tet pachtecha uchti b'Yoshua b'yom tet Hashem et emorim. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni omer migufe dekra shamatle asher yishmaun shima'acha v'ragzu v'chalu mipanecha imatai ragzu v'chalu mipanecha b'sha'a shamdalo kamal Moshe meitve v'lo haya k'yom ho lefanav v'acharav ibo etem ha'sha'ot udo lavin fishikulaya. Ze sefer shoftim. Amai kala sefer yashar. Tech b'yamim ahem. Ein melech b'Yisrael. Ish ha-yashar b'inav yaseh. Ve'echa remiza. Ma'andat dorot b'nei Yisrael. Le'lamdam milchama. Ezo milchama shetzicha limud. Ha'viyom ezo keshet. U'minanot b'yuhud ha'ktiv. Dechtiv mi yale lanu. El ha'knani batchila. Ha'shavayim ha'shem ha'shi. Yuhud ha'yale. Va'yorim ha'tabachat ha'shok ve'ha'aleha. Vayasim v'teisha umay ve'aleha, Rabbi Yochanan shok ve'alya, umay ve'aleha, the Misbech Hashmoklalia. Rabbi Elazar Meshok Vechaze, Umay Vealea de Machitle, Lechaze, Luya de Shok, Kiboyan, Ufi Manfile. Rabbi Shmuel Ben Achmina Meshok Veshofi. Umay Vealea, Shofi, Iluya de Shok. Lotit Yachedisha Imaem, Bemayaskina. Ilema Bechad. So what are you saying? Kavatega Beisro Mishori. Vatnan Loyit Yached Ish Echad, Imste Nashim. Ela Betlata. The Kabataka Israel beprutzim, it's also Mishori. Vatnad Avalisha Achat mit Yachedet im Shnei Anashim, Vam Revino Meshul Ashonel Bekshirim, Ava beprutzim, Afilo Asaranamilo, Masah Yavotsu Asaraba Mita, Lotzricha be Ishto Imo, Ovekochavim, Inishto Mishamarato, Ava Israel Ishto Mishamarato. Why do we need, because of Erva, typically Mishum Shvichudamim? Rabbi Yirmiyahu, it's talking about an isha chashuva, both bein ha'anashim va'anashim, where over there they're mirtata mina, but they're attracted to her. Ravidi Omer, every isha is considered to be the equivalent of an isha chashuva. Klezaina aleha, my benevik benevik isha chashuva bein ha'anashim, but not chashuva bein ha'anashim. So she's not attracted. According to Ravidi, there's no such thing. Tanya kavati to Ravidi Barovin, האישה אף הפי שהשלום אימה, לא תתייחיד עמהם, מפני שחשודים על העריות. לא יתייחיד אדם עמהם, תדעו רבונו. ישראל שנזדה מלו ואת כוכבים בדרך, תוף לא לימינו. רבי שמוע בנו של רבי יוחנן בן ברוקה אומר, בסייף תוף לא לימינו. במקל תוף לא לשמאלו. היועלים במעלה או יורדים בירידה, לא יהיה ישראל למטה ואת כוכבים למעלה. על ישראל למעלה, ועוקב עובד כוכבים למטה, והישוח לפניו, שמה ירוץ את גולגלתו. שאלו להיכן הולך, ירחיב לו את הדרך כדרך שעשה, יעקב אבינו לעשו הרשע, תכתיב עד אשר עבור אל אדוני סעירה, וכתיב יעקב נשא סוכותה. מה עשה בתלמידי רבי עקיבא שהיו הולכים לכזיב? פגעו בהם ליסטים. אמרו להם, לאן אתם הולכים? אמרו להם לעכו. כיוון שהגיעו לכזיב, פרשו. אמרו להם, תלמידי מי אתם? אמרו להם, תלמידי רבי עקיבא. אמרו להם, אשרי רבי עקיבא ותלמידיו, שלא פגע בהם אדם רע מעולם. ומנשה, אבי אז אל הבית תורתה, פוגו בגן ואמרו לה, אין כזאת, אמרו להם, פומבדיתה. כן באת אל הבית תורתה, פורש. אמרו לה, you rotten, no good, תלמידי דיוד הרמות. אמר לו, what, ידית אליי? יערב עד אל אבי הנניש בשמתה. אז לא עבדו גניבת העשר ותרת השנין, ולא אצלחו, כי אם הדרכוזו, אותו כולו תבעו דלישרו שבתאיו, אקספט פרחד גרדנה, דלו עתה, לשירו יש. וישמתי, אין אחלי אריה, היינו דמרי אינשי, גרדנה דלו טייזן, שטה בוצר משני. תחוזי מה בין גן ובובל, וליסטים דארץ ישראל. Following is the daf from the year 2003 in the previous cycle.
We're up to the first word of the Kofayom and Aleph. Vayidom HaShemesh V'yareach Amad Ad Yakum Goy Oyvav V'alo Hiktuva Al Sefer HaYashar. What exactly is the meaning of this Sefer HaYashar? Amrut Kibarab, Amrut Yochanan. The meaning of the Sefer HaYashar is Sefer Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov Shenikru Yisharim. So the remez to the mace that was going to be with the time of Yoshua was already back in Sefer Bereshit. The reason that we're bringing this over here is because of the machlokas we had before with Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeini of Megabit Sukkim, you know, the various midrashim that we had on Amud Beis. We're continuing now with other machlokasim with Rav Chanina and Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeini. So here we also have the same machlokasim. Okay, the first thing that we want to discuss, I mean, obviously there's other levels to why the Gemara brings us here, but that's what we'll see as we go. So the Gemara first brings the pasuk of the Hamad HaShemesh B'mei Yehoshua. And the pasuk there says that this mace was ketuvah al sefer hayashar. So here everybody seems to agree that Sefer HaYashar, the Sefer HaYashar in this case is referring to Sefer Bereishis, because we find that Bilam refers back to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov as Yesharim. Shemar tomot nafshi mot Yesharim. And from there we learn that his vision was that he would be on the darg of the Ovis. And where do we find that in Sefer Bereishis there's a remnant of the names of Yimei Yehoshua, Vecharamiza? Because when Yaakov Avinu was explaining why he gave first the bracha, and Yosef was trying to be the Mahafakas Yoda, so he said that Achiv HaKaton Yigdal Mimenu V'Zaro Yeh Melo HaGoyim, that his children are going to be Melo HaGoyim, meaning that they will be famous, will make an impact all over the world. And that's got to be referring to Yehoshua. Yehoshua comes from Ephraim, and Yehoshua was someone who made an impact on the entire world when everybody saw the Hamadas HaShemesh. So wherever you were in the world, you said, what's happening? And the word got out that Yehoshua had come and this nace had happened. And that's something that already Menashe wasn't Zofa till even though he was old. And once we already bring up the Indian of Yehoshua, so we want to go in. The truth is, it's not really once, it's that this is the main focus, because the Machlokas of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeini and the others over here with Rav Yehoshua Ben Levi and so on is all in terms of the next Vasek. This opening was just an opening. And this is why really we bring it. Vayamod HaShemesh B'chatzi HaShemayim Ro'at Slavo Kiyom Tamim. Now note that there seem to be two stages. One is Vayamod HaShemesh B'chatzi HaShemayim, so that the sun stood still at noon when it was directly overhead. And furthermore, below Atzlavo Kiyom Tamim, it didn't hurry to set Kiyom Tamim, which seems to refer to another thing. And there's no point in saying below Atzlavo. Obviously, first of all, it was in Mid Shemayim, it wasn't Lavo Bechol. So below Atzlavo, the Mashmaut is that as it was on the horizon, about to set, it was time Lavo. It was low Atzlavo. It didn't hurry to set, and sort of stood there in the west. So there were two different stoppings. So when it says Kiyom Tamim, what exactly, how do we understand this Kiyom Tamim? Now at this point, the Gemara holds that the machlokas of the shitas that we're about to discuss is a machlokas about the total number of light hours that were during the course of that day. And so therefore, our machlokas like this. Rabbi Elazar Amar, I'm Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, sorry, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi says, this means that there were Esrim ve'arba'ashoy. There were 24 hours of light in that day. Ozil Shi'it. First the sun moved normally, and it became noon at 6 hours in the day, which is that's in Jewish time, that's when it's noon, it's at six. V'kam Shi'it, and it was 6 hours without moving. Ozil Shit, it then began to set, which was the next 6 hours in the day, so it was now 12 in Jewish time. And now it was Kam Shit. And then another 6 hours before setting. And that's why it's Kiyom Tamim, and it was a full day, was of 24 hours, was placed into that day, which would normally have only been 12 hours of daylight. And we split it up between the Amad at midday, because that's the lotion of the Pasuk B'chatzi HaShemayim, and between the standing on the western horizon where it says V'lo Atzlavo. Therefore, man, it all ties into 24 hours. Rabbi Elazar, amen. Because one is about when it's the set. Rabbi Elazar, you can't say it didn't hurry the set when it's in mid-sky. Rabbi Elazar. Because we wouldn't have known that it was at the western sky unless we said V'lo Atzlavo. Rabbi Elazar Amar Shloshim Veshit, the total of 26 hours of daylight. So we have Ozil Shit went up to 6 o'clock to be noon. The Kam Treza, and then it stood there for 12 hours, and then Ozil Shit, then it kept moved till it was time to set. And again, Kam Tresar, because he understands that the words, the Yom Shalem, is a reference to the number of extra hours, was a Yom Shalem. So So Mamela, you had Amidato during the time of its Amida, between the time it was Eimed at noon and the time it was Eimed on the horizon, was together Kiyom Shalem, and then, of course, that's 24 hours, and of course you have the normal movement of the sun, the normal movement, is 4 hours over the course of the day. So Mamela, you have a total of 36 hours. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmini Omer, Arba'im v'shmona. No, it was 48 hours total. Why? Because Ozer Sheet become Tresa. Indeed, there was 6 hours, and then there was an Amida for 12 hours, and then there was again a movement for 6 hours to get to the western horizon. And there, on the west alone, it was Kamet Rimba Arba, because it says, Velo Atzlavoki Yom Tamim. The remnant of the Yom Tamim is only on the last part, so that it was Shahab before setting to Yom Tamim. But the Machlal, that the first part, where it was Eimei Bamsa Shamayim, Bechatsi Shamayim, over there, that wasn't Ki Yom Tamim. Michlal de Mi'ikara, not Ki Yom Tamim. So apparently, Lechatchila, it wasn't Ki Yom Tamim. And so Memela, we understand that what it means is that the Amida was the normal Amida, that we see the Shemesh B'Meshech Hayom, which is the 12 hours of the night, in which we don't see any Shira by the sun, so to speak, because it's Vayidom at the time that people are not looking at it. Now these three Shitas are assuming that the number of hours that are being mentioned by the Shitas are a reference to the total number of daylight hours. There's another approach in which the three Shitas are arguing about the number of additional hours. They're arguing about how many hours were added to that day, in which case we have to change all of the shitas, we have to move all of the shitas up one. Because according to that, we have to add the extra 12 hours of the day anyway to all of the shitas. So you start off with the first sheet actually setting the second sheet and so on. So according to this lashon, it goes like this. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, Etzrim v'arba, meaning 24 additional hours. In which case was Ozal Sheet become Tresar. Ozal Sheet become Tresar. That means that you had over here 6 hours until the Shemesh was Bemsa Shamayim. And then you had 12 hours of Amida. An additional 6 hours until it was on the horizon. And then you have 12 hours Be Amida. And that's Ki Yom Tamim. Now, in other words, according to this Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Sheet is essentially the Sheet of Rav Elazar that we had before. Because the Rebbe Elazar before phrased it as 36 hours because he was referring to the total number of hours. Here Rebbe Yoshua ben Levi is phrasing the 36 hour Shita there as 24 hours because he's referring only to the additional time. But obviously there's still 12 hours in a day. By the way, that's by definition, there's 12 hours in a day. Right? Remember that in Jewish time, we split the daylight into 12 hours. That's what we mean by a day is however long it is, sometimes those hours are 90-minute hours, and sometimes those hours are 40-minute hours, you know, in Eretz Yisrael. But that's the definition of a day, is 12 hours. So according to him, the Amidato was Ki Yom Tamim, which gives us 36 hours in terms of the total. And in this version, Rebbe Eliezer Omer Shloshim V'Shesh, meaning Shloshim V'Shesh of the Amida, which would mean 48 hours, right? So in other words, in this version, Rebbe Elazar essentially is the sheet of Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani in the previous version, correct? So here, Rebbe Elazar would be saying Shloshim Meshesh, which would mean Ozor sheet. The sun came to noon at 6 o'clock, and then it was Kam Tresar, and then it stayed there for 12 hours, and Ozor sheet became Esrim V'Arba. Because as Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani had said previously, V'lo Atzlavo K'yom Tamim is a reference to just the setting. So the setting sun took 24 hours, and the sun Ba'amida took 12 hours. And so Mamela, you have over here 36 additional hours, plus of course the 12 hours a day is 48 hours. And Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani says, no, it's 48 hours, meaning 48 additional hours, a total of 60 hours in the day. Because it was Ozil Sheet at 6 o'clock, it was calm in the middle of the sky for 24 hours. And then there was another 12 hours until it came to sunset, in which it was calm Esri Miarba. Because he understands that when it says at the end of the Pasuk that v'lo'at slavok yom tamim, it's we're being makish amidato leviato. Just as biato ki yom tamim afa midato ki yom tamim. Over here, the Torah doesn't mean to say that the ki yom shalem is only referring to v'lo'at slavok. Because the first part of the pasuk, which is talking about vayamod ha-shemesh b'chatzi ha-shamayim, is compared to v'lo'at slavo. So just like the v'lo'at slavo is a kiyom shalem, so too is the amida b'amtzah shamayim kiyom shalem, which leaves us now the two periods of 24 hours, one at midday and one at sunset, plus the normal 12 hours of the day, which we're not even mentioning over here. We're only talking about the Tosefet. Tan and the Brisa explains kishem she'amdalo chamal Yoshua. The same way that the sun stood still for Yoshua, so too did the sun stand still for Moshe Rabbeinu and for Nachdimon ben Gurion. You'll remember the famous Maisa, Nachdimon ben Gurion, where there was no water and for the Aliyah Regel, and he went ahead and he purchased from a certain Hegemon. He purchased 12 Mayanot, which was worth it. He promised him millions of dollars for the Mayanot, because he said, don't worry, I'll simply have them refilled for you. It'll rain. He gives them up to a certain date, and at that date, of course it hadn't rained yet, naturally, and the Hegemon's making a party, he's a rich man, and Nachdimon's gonna be wiped out, and everybody's so happy. And so Nachdimon goes in, he's bespalled, there's a mikdash, and finally it starts to rain. So the Hegemon comes and says, look, it's a, you know, it's a nice trick, and the problem is that it's already 8:34, which is already after Shtia, and you promised it was going to be by the end of the day, and it's already too late, it's after the day. So Nachdimon goes back inside the Vesem Mikdash, and he's bespalled that the Shemesh should be seen again, it should still be there. He comes out, and sure enough, that's why they call him Nachdimon, because the Chama was Kodma B'Shvila. So that was the other mice, and that mice, of course, is not written in the Torah. That mice is, we have the Kabbalah. But the mice, at least, of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoshua is a Pasuk. Nachdimon Ben Gurion is, of course, the Kabbalah. How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu also had a mice of Hamadat HaShemesh? We know that. That we learn from the Heker, from the Gzereshova of Achel Achel. It says over here by Moshe Rabbeinu, Achel Tet Pachtachai will begin to place the terror of you on the Goyim. Uchiva Asam by Yoshua, we find exactly the same lashon by Yeshua where it says Achel God Lecha. So apparently the Hatchala is. And this is because the worship of the Shemesh was very common. So the Hatchalah, the breaking of the Umas Ha'ilam, was to show the Shlita over the Shevet HaMarshal. And this is the Hatchalah because it breaks their belief system. And then after that already you can wipe them out. Rabbi Yochanan says, I have a better Gzer Shavah. Adya take, Tivahaka Achel take Pachtecha. And by Yoshua it says, "Biyom take Hashem et ha'emori," and that's in the same parsha of the nace of the Hamadat Hashem. And it's much better to bring a raya from there than stam to bring a raya from the Achel take Pachtecha. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, "What do you need to have Zerah Shava?" It's clear from the pasuk of by Moshe Rabbeinu itself, because it says over there, "Asher Yishmaun Shimacha v'rogz v'cholom yifanecha." Now, how can they all be rogues in chola from Moshe Rabbeinu? Emasai rogzu v'cholom yifanecha mishasham davoch amal Moshe. It was at the same when the same nace, because we find that's the same sense of what happened to Yoshua. We're over there too. Our whole raya was that the impact that the Amod HaShemesh is going to make is Zaroyim Elo Aguyim. So in order to explain the same idea, we'd have to assume that that's what it's referring to by Moshe. Says the Gemara, but how can you say that by Moshe it was the same as Yoshua? When it says, Beferush V'lo Haya Kayom Ahu Lefanav V'acharav, it was never a day like that, not before and not after, which means that neither the Maisa Maisha and Nachdimon Ben Gurion should be allowed by what it says in the Pasuk. And it says there was no such day, there never will be such a day again. So how could it be that there was a Hamad HaShemesh like Yoshua? First of all, it could be that just means keyomahu, that it should be completely like that. So maybe ibay sema sha'otu delo having the fishit kuleha. Maybe there wasn't so many hours. In other words, maybe there was a nace, but it wasn't to the same extent. Or it could be that keyomahu is not only a reference to the hamadat shemesh; it's a reference to the entirely miraculous nature of the day. Because by Yoshua, after the defeat by the Jews, there was also the additional miraculous destruction of the bombardment from the sky while the goyim were running away. So the stones were falling on them the whole time, and it says in the pasuk, more died through that than died in the actual battle with Yisrael. That did not happen at the other time. So maybe that's the pshat, that there wasn't a miracle like a miraculous day like that ever again. So the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, we don't have a record of Avnei Barad. So you see that additional nace, that we didn't have. And here we have also the same individuals that are being chaylik, Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, Rav Tia. And this is not really a new issue. It looks like a new issue. But the truth is, the Marshal points out that this is all interrelated. The Maisa of Yehoshua was a war that was done entirely based on intervention milamala. By the way, I should mention that there's a famous analysis of the Maral, which of course was quite a few hundred years before relativity, in which the Maral explains the Maisa in terms of relative time. Because of course the sun doesn't stand still. But the point is that time, he says, is relative, and for the Jews, the number of hours it was taken for the Goyim, the Jews, those minutes became 24 hours. And they said it was like a matrix kind of thing. So they were moving, everybody else is moving fast. And they're like, you know, we've got all the time in the world to dodge the arrows and to do whatever we want. and Mamela, that was the miraculous nature of the day thing. Sorry. No, that's the to them. It was the Amad. I think it was just standing still. That's the whole point. Like in the Matrix, the bullet standing still, right?
No, it was just
the in the Gvur Yisroel, yes, like a big analysis of it. In fact, somebody put out a whole safer just on this, Maral's relativity in English, but years and years ago, and it's still available. I don't remember. I think I have the safer though, like I don't remember how it goes in the log. Right? I guess the Matrix makes a nice impact. So getting on to this, so the Marsha points out that this hesped, this is essentially the hesped of David HaMelech over the death of Shaul and so on. So we find that, so he mentions the Lamed B'nei Yehuda Keshet, Inek Tuvah, Sefer HaYashar. And the whole opening of the Hesped doesn't seem to make all that much sense. What is he talking about that? So Marsha explains that the meaning is this, that the Gemara is connecting what happened before at the time of Yehoshua to what it was that David HaMelech was pointing out at this moment. He's saying when we first came into Eretz Yisrael, we never needed to know how to wage war. And it's interesting that that's what it says in Shoftim. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left these Umayyads so that Bnei Yisrael would learn to wage war, which lo haya betchila, which there was no such thing originally. We never needed to wage war. So that means that in all of the battles of Yehoshua, as long as Yehoshua lived, we were fighting, but we were not fighting as soldiers. We were sort of going through the motion, but we didn't need training. We didn't just, you did the work, you did the movements, and somehow things worked out. But then it says, vayachare mot Yehoshua, after Yehoshua died. So then it says that Bnei Yisrael came and they said, you know, we have to learn how to fight. We've got to learn. So that meant that at that point, they no longer had the same level in which they could just go in and be mishtadel and believe that things would work out. They needed to be trained. And from that point on, things went downhill until finally Shaul was defeated in war. So that David HaMelech was saying, you see how it all started. We talked about the Lami B'nai Yehuda Keshet. And look at this tragedy of where it has brought us, that now we lose a war also. I mean, once you need to be trained to fight wars, so then you can actually lose a war. So it's a continuation of the Maisa, with the Vlohaya Kayomahu, there was no day like that ever again in which wars were fought without really needing to fight. So what is it referring to there? Now, obviously the Parshita relationship in the Gemara here is to try to relate the idea of Sefer HaYashar in the two sugyas. Because we said before that the names of Yoshua is mentioned in Sefer HaYashar, and we say over here, David HaMelech says, it's written in the Sefer HaYashar. What is the Sefer HaYashar in this case? So my Sefer HaYashar, so here too says Rav Chiya Bar Avraham Rav Yochanan, it's the same thing it was before. It's Sefer Bereishis. It's a Sefer Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Shenikru Yisharim. We learn from Bilam that the others are called Yisharim. Because he says, Vatiyachriti Kamohu. So where is it in Sefer Bereishis? Where does it say that there was a need to learn more? Hecher Amiza. Oh, because it says, Yehuda ata yoducha achecha, yadcha ba'oref oivecha. So your hand is at the oref, which is the nape of the neck, of your enemies. Now, where do we need a zoi milchama shetzricha yad keneged oref? What is the meaning of yadcha ba'oref oivecha? Now Rashi learns this means that we're referring to the Yehuda's neck, so to speak. So that when a person draws a bow, he draws the string like that behind his neck and lets go. But so then that would mean yatcha ba'oret in order to get oivecha, not ba'oref oivecha. So a little bit stretching the string over here. So the Marshal learns yatcha ba'oref oivecha means that in order to get a proper an arrow, after all, has limited range. So, like they say, don't fire until you see the white of their eyes. So in those days, they would say, don't fire until you can see the nape of their neck. So yadcha ba'oref oivecha, what is the type of thing that requires oref oivecha? That must be keshet, which is long-distance fighting, as opposed to cherev, which is fought from up close. So the remez, therefore, is in Yaakov Avinu's bracha to Yehuda. And we see that he apparently said, Lalame B'nai Yehuda Keshet. That's the B'nai Yehuda Keshet that Yaakov told. Yadcha ba'oref oivecha. So foretold back in Bereishis was this Maisa. So Aizoi Milchama Shetzricha Yad Keneged Oref, Havi Omer Zu Keshet. Rabbi Eliezer says, no. Sefer HaYashar is a reference to Sefer Dvorim, Sefer Mishneh Torah. Vamai Korlo Sefer HaYashar, because the stress in Dvorim is Ve'asita HaYashar Va'atov B'nei Hashem. And where is it removed in Sefer HaYashar that there was a Yehuda that would have to fight in this way? Because it says, Yadav Ravlo. Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha to Yehuda is that his hands, some learn it means Yadav Ravlo, his hands will do his fighting for him. But what type of milchama requires two hands? Ezuri milchama shetricha shtei yadayim. That's a sword. That's an arrow. Because a sword, you can do with one hand. So, but you certainly can't say, I'll fight you with one hand tied behind my back if you're trying to pull an arrow. Right? So, Mimela, this is a reference to Aveyetu Milchamach Vichashteyadayim Aviyomer Zukeshet. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, no, this is Sefer Shoftim. Amai Karlo Sefer HaYashar, Tichti Bayamim Ein Ein Melech Yisrael, Ish HaYashar Ve'inav Yaseh. So you see that the only book, it's an amazing thing, because it means that we're characterizing the book as true Sefer HaYashar, not as the phony Sefer HaYashar. Remember, the Sefer HaYashar. HaYashar Ben Avi Yasemi, everybody does whatever that he wants. And therefore, we're going to call it the book of the Yesharim. I mean, it's crazy. You see from here that the Gemara takes for granted that the meaning of the Ish HaYashar Ben Avi Yasemi is that this was a hippie movement. It really was Yashar. In other words, it was an anti-establishment Yashrut. It wasn't that they were looking to do it. They were looking to do what was right, and they didn't trust the establishment anymore. Yishayashar Beinav, the book of those who saw themselves as Yesharim, and it was a movement to try to make love, not war, so to speak, was this book?
Part of the leftover that was not consulting with Shmuel when they were fighting.
Yeah. No, the whole thing is, this was a generous, this is Dorsha Shofetet Shoftav. That's the point. It's not that they were Stam, Mavad Shoftav. They were Shofetet Shoftav.
Counterculture.
A counterculture, Mamish. The Hefer Amiza, and where do we see this being Merumas and Sefer Shofti? Because that's the point. It says Laman, that these were the Uvai Perakadosh Baruch who left Laman Dat Dorot Perei Yisrael Lamdam Nilchama. These were the nations that God left in order to teach Jews how to fight. And the pasuk continues, which wasn't previously done. What do you mean it wasn't previously done? We're talking about, after all of these battles of Yeshua, that's the point, is that those battles were not done with training.
You know, that could be the focus on describing the skills of the Binyamin and Pelegesh Begiza. Makes a big point of what they were capable of doing with finding the point of the end of the impact.
Maybe. So, where does it say this? Because that's the remez. The remez is that you need training in order to do war at all. And the only thing that you need training to do war at all, gun you can give to anybody and they'll shoot, and you have an arrow, you're not going to get anywhere with it. I mean, they'll be totally wildly off. A sword you can give somebody and they'll fight with it. They'll do what they can. But an arrow, they can't. They can't do anything. You need training in order to be able to use the arrow. But wait a second. But there it doesn't say Lamed Bnei Yehuda. Remember that in the Hespet of David HaMelech, it says Vayomer Lamed Bnei Yehuda Keshet Inei Ketuvah B'Sefer HaYashar. The other riyas that we had from Bereishis and from Dvarim indeed were riyas that spoke about Yehuda. But where is the riyah in Sefer HaYashar, if assuming it's referring to Sefer Shoftim? Where is the raya that it's a reference to Yehuda? Says the Gemara, because there too, Minolam beYehuda, Tichtiv Mi Yaalelonu Batchila Elaknani Milachembo. Because after Yeshua dies, so it says over there. Okay, so they ask the Urim V'Tumim. So who should be the first one to go up and fight? And the Urim V'Tumim answers Yehuda Yaaleh. Vayomer Hashem Yehuda Yaaleh. So you see that's the Lalamed that is a reference, that is referenced later in Shoftim, is Be'ikar, a reference to the leadership, the Marine, so to speak, of Bnei Yisrael, and that's Yehuda. Vayorem hatabach et hashok. Now here too we have the Roshua Banachmeni arguing. And here we're going back to the Maisa in which Shaul was first told that he was going to be king. It says over there that he met Shmuel, and Shmuel brings him in, and he gives him a special portion. Hashem had told Shmuel before that he was coming. He used a very funny lashon over there. It says, "Vayorem atabachat hashok v'ha'aleha." It looks almost like a misspelling, because we're used to the shok and the alya, maybe. I mean, what's the aleha? The shok and the thing that's on it. Vayosem is saying, Shaul, and put it in front of Shaul to eat. So what is this v'ha'aleha? Rabbi Yochanan says it means the shok and the alya. We call it aleha because the mitzvah shok la'alya. I mean, ultimately, the shok supports the bone that supports the tailbone. So that's what it means. Rabbi Eliezer says no. It means the shok and what is normally put on the shok. The shok and the chazeh. But why is it called aleha? The mochis le'le chazeh aluya l'shok. The reason is because when you bring a chaz of a shok, of a shlamim, and Shmuel was bringing a shlamim over here, except that it was on a bamas yachid. And on a bamas yachid, there's no din of chaz of a shok. But if you had brought it on the bamas tibur, so then of course you would have had to bring a chaz of a shok. So therefore, and the chaz of a shok are related only because the Torah made them related. So you take the chazeh, and you put the chazeh on top of the shok when you present it. Now, since over here there was no chazeh v'shok, so the kodesh was. This was the most mechubad part, because normally this would be the gift. So now I'm giving it to him. And that shows his chashivas. That's why it says the aleha. Kiboy anufe. Normally, you would put the chaz on a shok before tenufa, not that there was tenufa over here. Vanufe le. Umanfe le. Reb Shmuel ben Achmeni amar. This is the shok and the shofi. The shofi is the meat that goes around the shok, around, and it's very rich muscle. So my v'aleh, that refers to the shofi, which is iluya de shok koi. Okay, so here too we bring this. Again, obviously they're all related sugyas with Shmuel and with Shol and with Yoshua and with Mochama and so on. But in any event, the straightforward connection between them is simply with Shmuel bar Nachmeni and the Machlokas of the Bukhi and so on. Now back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Lo tichached isha imahen, a woman should not be allowed with Ovdei Avodas Kochavim, which doesn't make any sense because a woman's not allowed to be alone with anybody. So asks the Gemara, what does this mean? What do we say? That a woman should not be alone with one goy. So the Kabbasik of Yisrael, Mishari, is a woman allowed to be together with one Yisrael? But it's not. Even two women are not allowed to be alone with a man. Ella, so what are you going to say? That it's talking about three or more. Once is already three. So by Yisrael, it's mutter, as we say that then they're not going to cover for each other. And by a goy, it's also. But that's not true either. Because Jewish people who are prutzim, there's no heter to be alone with three Jews. So it's nothing to do with Jews. It has to do with the type of person you are. It's the same. If you're an akum, or for that matter, if you're a Jew, act like an akum. I said, so why would it make it in akum? Celebitzlat or what? The kabbasik of Yisrael, the putz of Mishori? Is it mutter by Yisrael? Three or more? But non. Avodisha akat mityachedet im shnei anashim. A woman can be alone with two men, but Rabbi Yudah Mashmur says, lo shanu ela b'ksherim. This is only if they're known to be kosher people. Avod b'frutzim. Afilu asara namilo. Even if it be 10 men. She can't be alone with them. Maaseh haya v'otziyua asara b'mita. There's a famous story in which 10 people got together, 10 men got together, to bring out a woman, pretending she was dead. So they brought her out in a mita shalmesim, as if they were going to a funeral, in order to get her out of town to have an orgy out there. So what kind of dependency does it have in Akum? It's from the Gea Akum. So you have Purusim. So that can't be the pshat. But tzricha b'ishto imo. What it's talking about over here is where the guy's wife is with him. Now, when a Jew's wife is with him, she doesn't allow him to go around having fun and games. So there's no chashash. She's shomer him. So an ovei kochavim ein ishto mishamarato. But by a guy, the woman doesn't watch him because they're all putzim barayas. So it's a big deal to her. So Mamela, there's no heter to be alone, even though there's a woman there that's his own wife. Ava Yisrael, Yishtor Meshamarato. So the Gemara, but Lamaisa, this whole thing doesn't really matter, does it? Because the Mishnah said, anyway, the Feirish, that you're not allowed to be alone with a goy, even if you're not a woman. Because of Shvichut Damin. So what do we got to come onto the issue of Arayot and explain what it's talking about, that his wife is with him? That's not the point. If there's an iser in being alone, even as a man, in being alone with an Ovid Kirchhoven. So, why do I need a special mention of the woman? So, typically, Mishum Shvichut Damim, Omer Rebbe Yirmiyah, B'isha Chashuva Atzkina, B'mir Tataymina. What we're talking about is a woman who is Chashuv. So, Mamela, she's well known to the government. She's somebody that the government has interest in protecting. So over there, we are not going to asser it because of Shvichut Amim, because he wouldn't dare. But we will asser it because of Arayot. So you have to know that there's two separate chashot. Even though she may be not afraid of being murdered, but she has to be worried that even though his wife is there, that there's still a chashash of Erevah. Now, Rashi learns, and Tosfos bitterly disagrees. Well, let's first go through the sugya like Rashi. Rashi learns Isha Chashuva has a double meaning. Isha Chashuva means, first of all, she's well known. And secondly, she's beautiful. So she's on two levels chashuva. She's chashuva in terms of the government, and she's chashuva as a woman. And that memela, the issue over here is that there is a problem of arayot because of her beauty, and there's no problem of ketola because of her connections, is what Rav Yirmiyah is saying over here. Whereas Rav Ivi says, the reason that we don't have a chashash of murder by a woman is because isha klei zayna aleha. A woman is well endowed with her own weapons, and we don't have to be afraid that someone is going to murder her. So therefore, she does not need chashivut of either kind, again, as Rashi learns. She doesn't need to be well-connected. She doesn't need to be beautiful. Any woman has a way of seducing a would-be attacker and prevent him from killing her, because she'll turn his desires to other things. And why should he want to kill her? So Mamela, it's a completely different issue. According to Rav Ivi, of course, there's no mention over here of whether she's beautiful, whether she's connected. So it's a completely different halacha. Therefore, comes along the Gemara to explain, so my binayu, what would be the difference between Rav Yirmiyah, who says that we're talking about an isha chashuva, and Rav Ivi, who says any isha is not a problem because klizayna aleha. The ika binayu, the nafkamina, would be an isha who is chashuva bein anashim, meaning she's well connected, but she'ena chashuva bein anashim. Again, this is Rashi's understanding, is that it's all one statement. So she's well connected, but she's not beautiful. So according to Rav Yirmiyah says the only worry that we have over here in the Mishnah is an isha who is chashuva, meaning she's both well connected, and therefore there's no chashash of murder, and she's also beautiful, and therefore there is a chashash of illicit relations. And therefore, according to Rav Yirmiyah, if she's not beautiful, and she's only well connected, then we have no chashashes. We have no chashashes of her being murdered because of her connections, and we have no chashashes of arayas because she's not beautiful. So okay, that's obviously according to Rav Ivi. That's not true, because according to him, there's always a chashash of arayot, because he says kli zayna aleha no matter what, meaning even if she's not beautiful, there's always an attraction to a woman. So that would be the difference between the shita of Rav Ivi and the shita of Rav Yirmiyah. Tanya kabasi the Rav Ivi bar Avin, and the bride seems to support Rav Ivi bar Avin that it has nothing to do with her chashivut, it has to do with her femininity itself. Because there it says, ha'isha, a woman, afal pisha shalom ima, even though a woman never has to worry about being murdered, lo tityachet imayam mishuk shechashudim al arayot. Now, since over here, it doesn't distinguish between a beautiful woman and any other woman, so apparently it's supporting Rav Ivi bar Avin's approach that the chashash over here is only in terms of erva on any woman, and there's never a chashash of murder on anyone. Okay, now Tosfos, for many reasons, really dislikes Rashi's pshat. And one reason is, who ever heard anywhere in the Gemara of a difference between a beautiful woman and a not beautiful woman when it comes to problems of arayas? Did you ever hear such thing anywhere? I mean, we're talking about before the case of the Yeshus Kohen that was captured, Dinam of Yichud. Who ever heard such a thing? This is astonishing. All of a sudden, we should start saying that we're going to establish a certain minimal level in which the drives of the goy are going to kick in. It's outrageous. And never is it supported in any Sugya Tainus Tosfos. It's not a svara. We saw before, if they're attracted to Jewish animals, they're not going to be attracted to, she's worse than the shore. It seems crazy. I'm all the way through. We've been assuming that there's no limits to sexual desire. And you're all of a sudden, she's not really so good looking. I mean, she certainly can't be less good looking than the cow. Well, maybe. We're getting some wry faces over there. We can see there's been some unsuccessful dating. Well, there's Yisrael always saying, she's a dog. Sorry, Yisroel.
He knows about the matter.
How would this fit in with what we could get?
How would what fit in? I haven't said it yet. So first of all, that's the first thing that Tosus doesn't like. The second thing is that if you take a look at the way it says the Nafkamina Bechina, it says, Isha Chashuva Bein Anashim, Vishayna Chashuva Bein Anashim. And that's mashma, there's two separate cases, not Ve'erle says, Ve'ena Chashuva, the way you remember, Ve'ena Chashuva Bein Anashim. The Rashi's learning it, the whole thing adds up to one case. So why does it say she'ena chashuva, which is certainly not the mashma'ut? And besides that, Tosfos says, never ever do we find the word chashuva being used for beauty. When Rashi's learning it, isha chashuva means, well, she's well-connected and she's beautiful. So the well-connected is in terms of bein ha'anashim, and the beautiful is that she's chashuva bein ha'anashim. Whoever is such a thing? I mean, it seems to be absolutely unique usage of words, of concepts, of dinim. It just doesn't add up, says Tosfos. Simply doesn't add up. Therefore, Tosfos has a completely, totally different approach to the sugya. Tosfos learns that Kli Zayna Alea has nothing to do with her seductiveness and ability to turn away a person's willingness to kill her into a desire to sleep with her. That's not the point. Kli Zayna Alea simply means that women are powerful to men in the sense that they're not aggressive and they're not seen as competitors. And since they're not seen as competitors, the natural inclination is that they'll take care of them. Yeah, it's a woman. It's a woman. Like the Arabs have already learned to take advantage of, you put a woman there, she's crying, they're stupid soldiers until they learn what Arabs are. They think women are women, or a pregnant woman must be a real woman, How else does she get pregnant? And they find out, not all women are women. But normally, among people, women are women. So the Kli Zayna Alea simply means that she's not somebody that's going to be attacked under normal circumstances. We're going to say, he's going to be alone with a woman, he's going to kill her. Why would he kill her? People don't generally go around killing women. What it's talking about. So according to what he's saying over here, therefore, is when it uses the lashon of Ika Binao Isha Chashuva Bein Anashim, it doesn't mean a woman who is chashuv to men. The word Isha Chashuva means well-connected. There's no point in distinguishing. Remember, according to Tosfos, there's no such thing as Chashuva Bein Anashim in terms of being beautiful. So therefore, he's saying Isha is because people stam don't kill. And therefore, when we're saying Ika Binao Isha Chashuva, can an Isha Chashuva be Bein HaAnashim? Is she allowed to be alone with Anashim? So according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, so then there would be the problem over here that if she's Chashuva, then we have the problem only of the murder problem. According to Rav Edi, there's no problem over here of Shvichut Damim, no matter what, even if she's not well connected. And there is, however, a problem of Arayot, whereas according to the Shita that holds that she's Chashuva, she wouldn't even have to be worried about Arayot, because in the same way, again, this is a completely different approach, but it tells us in the same way that they're not going to start up with a woman to kill her, they're also not going to start up with her in terms of arayot. Now, when it comes to the einah chashuva, it says that einah chashuva bein hanashim does not mean like Rashi says, and is not chashuva, means she's not beautiful. It's a separate case. Or another nafkamina b'nayim is an isha that is not well connected, and can she be mityachedet bein hanashim? That's the point. So over there, it's a separate thing. So according to Yirmiyah, if she's not Chashuva, so why wouldn't they kill her? The women can also kill her. Whatever, they're not Machmed HaShvichas Bami. So there would be a problem since she's not connected. Mashenke, if the meaning is, according to Ravidi, that it's Klizayna Aleha,
So that means that she's not seen as an aggressive individual. People don't desire to kill her. So the Mela would be Muteret, Bein Hanashim. Totally different approach, two different cases. The Bein is the question of the Yichud, not an adjectival phrase about what her Chashivut is. And a completely different understanding of Zayna Aleha as well. Then we said, Lo Yitjachid Adam Imam, even a male, should not be alone with her, this is dangerous. The Yisrael has the misfortune of sitting down on the plane next to a guy. So what do you do? Toflo liyamino. Make sure you keep him to your right, because that way your right hand is more readily accessible to grab the guy who's coming to attack you. Rabbi Yishmael beno shorev.
I always thought this meant when you're coming facing someone as opposed to walking with.
No. I'm walking with. Rabbi Yishmael beno shorev Yochanan Baruch Omer. It depends. The sayiv toflo liyamino. If the guy is going to have to draw a sword to get you, now the sword is carried on the left, so he's going to go grab his sword. When he grabs his sword, your right hand should be next to him, and you grab his hand, right? But if the guy is some other weapon, which he's holding in his right hand, let's say a makel, he's going to smash you over the head. What do they call those kenya things with the big knobs at the end?
Huh?
A panga. If the guy's walking around with a panga, you want to have the panga closer to you, so put him on your left and grab with your left hand when he tries to raise his right. But how are you going to get over to grab the panga when he's going to go boom like that? So you'll be too late, won't be able to grab his hand. So then you should have him on your left. You olin b'ma'ala, your din b'yirida. If you're going up, or you're going down. You should never be beneath him. So you should always be in the position which you're higher. Obviously, don't keep directly behind you, but a little bit to the side. You can also keep your eye on him, but never be in the position in which he can be on top of you. Ella Yisrael Lamalav Nikachav Lamatav. All Yeshuach of him never bend down. So if you have to pick up your suitcase, get a porter.
That's what
Shem probably. Shema Yarutz at Google Ato, because then he'll take that panga and smash your skull if you bend down to pick up your suitcase. Shalo Lehechan Holech. If he asks you, so where are you headed? Always tell him you're headed further than where you really headed. Because that way he figures he still has time to act. And then by the time you get out of he changes plans, you're already gone. Right. So Yarchiv Lo Et Haderach. What's that? No. That's exactly what Yaakov said to Esav. Esav said, come, let's walk along. He said, and of course he never went to Seir, he only went to Sukkot. Yaakov nasa Sukkota. Now there was a mice with Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva that were going to Kzib, in Eretz Yisrael. Pogu behem listim, so some highway robbers met them. Marlem la'anatem okim, so, where you guys headed? Oh, they said, we're on our way to Akko. Naturally, Akko, of course, was much further south. They come to Gziz, and they go to the hotel, pretty sure. So the listim understood that they had outwitted them. Rulahem, so they said, tell me, Talmidim, miatem, who's your rov? They said, we're Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Smart guy, Rabbi Akiva. Ashrei Rabbi Akiva v'talmidav. Now that's a rov. Shalopaga behem adam rami olam. No Russia's going to be able to get to them. Very good, very good. You went to a good yeshiva. That's what Gemara's going to say. Menashe was in Bovel, and he was heading to Beit Torata. And he, probably Ganvi, now Ganvi are burglars, they're not highway robbers, they're nowhere near as dangerous. But he told them also, when they asked him, so La'ankaz, where are you headed? So they said to Pumbedisa. When they come to Beit Torata, which was before Pumbedisa, they leave. Omrulay, they said, you lousy rats, Talmida de Yehuda Ramah, you're obviously students of that idiot, Rabbi Yehuda, the one who teaches all of his students to be Ramayim. Omar Lahu, so the Talmidim said to them, oh, Yadidulay, you know him, very good. Yei Rava Delavi Hanu Inchi Bishamte. If you know him, you should be under his nidui. They, that's the covet of Rav, they put the klol of Rav Yehuda on them. So these poor guys, Azlo Avdu Gnevata, Esther Vitatim Shnim, for 22 years they were trying to get a good take. They never had Atzlocha from that day on. That's why it's 22 years. Yosef, it takes 22 years to get the message. That's the point. So for 22 years, lo atzlichule, they had no success until finally they realized they better go and ask Mephila. So they were also kulu tavu shamtail. They went and they were mevakish from Rabbi Yehuda. You should cancel the meeting. After all, we're just not having any atzlocha. Now there's this one Gardi. Gardi is a weaver, and then we saw already that a Gardi in those days was viewed as having a tremendous amount of chutzpah. And he said, I don't care. V'lo atzim ashuli yashamtet, achle aryeh, he was eaten up by a lion. Of course, that's the Gur Aryeh Yehuda, which we don't care. But hainu, the amreim she, and that's where the saying comes from, you know. Yudana v'lo taizan, a Garbi that doesn't learn to have a little bit of how would you say the opposite of garbi, a little bit of
humility,
a little bit of humility, yeah. Shate batz mishne, he'll lose some years off of his life. There seems to be another a number of other gersos that have brought me or from the Tosis, but this one isn't all that hot. Shate batz mishne, a year comes off his life. And take a look. In Bovo, the Ganovim, Ganov is okay, Mela, a little bit of burglary here and there. Look how he speaks about Rabbi Yehuda. Ooh, Yehuda Ramai. In Eretz Yisrael, the Listim were like, I mean, they're mamish the mafia. The mafia sees a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Ah, Ashrei Rabbi Akiva, the Talmud of. Look at the difference between Listim and Eretz Yisrael and Ganovim and Bovo. Beautiful.